Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome in to Cody and Gold.
Are you ready?
You are clear to engage.
Showtime.
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
You feel the energy. You really do. Whenever somebody gets called up, whether it be position player-wise, pitcher-wise, starting pitcher-wise especially, you feel that energy. You feel that, I don't want to say rejuvenation because we're in a really good spot right now as a team, but, you know, there's that freshness to it. There's almost like a youth aspect when a young guy comes up and makes his debut that it just gets your juices flowing a little bit more than say a normal game would. So we're fired up for Daniel. He's obviously a great talent and hoping that he just settles in out there and pitches his game and realizes that all he's got to do is execute his plan, pitch his pitches, and he'll be just fine. He doesn't have to do any more than he needs to.
Here's Cody Tapp and Alex Gold.
1 o'clock hour, that was Whit Merrifield talking about Daniel Lynch, who will make his MLB debut tonight for the Royals against the Indians right here on 610 Sports Radio. If you missed our conversation with Whit, we'll bring that back to you coming up 30 minutes from now. We are in line for NBA Top Shot as well, their latest pack drop.
I'm out.
Not going to happen for me.
Did you get in?
235,000.
You need to be in the top 140?
Yeah, it's the lowest I've ever been.
How come Gold always gets packs?
I'm a lucky
guy. He gets
guy.
Him at an unfair rate. Do you actually believe that about yourself? Do you find yourself to be abnormally lucky?
Correct. Yeah, there's been a lot of circumstances, whether it's winning an Xbox off a Mountain Dew cap, whether it's the MLB NFT thing last week and getting a Trout card that's worth $2,500. Yeah, so I'm 36,000 in line. So I think I'll should easily get a pack today. I guess we'll have a pack to open up. Probably not going to happen today, but maybe tomorrow. Text line. Couple listeners, 59,000. Another listener, 124,000. So good. Couple listeners getting those. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on. But what's the national perspective on what the Chiefs did and maybe the AFC West did in the draft? To do that, let's go out to the 610 hotline and welcome in Trevor Sikkema, senior NFL reporter for NFL Draft Network and co-host of the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. He joins us on behalf of betonline.ag. Trevor, good to have you on the show, man. I guess just what was your assessment of what the Chiefs did? Because we're kind of looking at it here, and I know they didn't have a first-round pick, but as far as I'm concerned, Orlando Brown Jr. was their first-round pick, and that's a pretty damn good one.
Right. I mean, you know, when you look at what the Kansas City Chiefs needed, it's not much, right? This is a team that won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. They were in the Super Bowl this past year, and if their offensive tackles were healthy, the story might be this team might be going for a three-peat. And so I think that they looked at their offensive line situation, and that's really the area that they needed to address, both on the interior and at offensive tackles going into the offseason. Well, man, did they address that in an aggressive way, and I think a great way. You know, of course, they signed Joe Thuney. They make him one of the highest-paid offensive guards in football, but he's fantastic. He's reliable, and that's what you want here in a winning window. You want to go out and get those guys that can immediately impact your team in the best way. Like you just mentioned, they didn't have a first-round pick, but they went out and got Orlando Brown, and I think that's a fantastic move for them. They were not going to get an offensive tackle of his caliber with his starting experience in the NFL at that point. So, again, this is another move that allows you to compete right away. They drafted two interior offensive linemen in Creed Humphrey, who's one of the most experienced centers in college football. I think he's going to be a great player for them. I think he's going to have a chance to be able to make an impact right away. And then they get Trey Smith in the sixth round. You know, a bit of a risk because of his health concerns that he's dealt with over the last couple of years, but went on the field, man, he's a former five-star player. You get him in the sixth round. I thought that was great value as well. Nick Bolton, I like as a linebacker. He's more of a downhill guy. Doesn't necessarily help them in coverage maybe as much as they would want, but he gives you that middle-of-the-field kind of spark plug, that sideline-to-sideline guy who knows how to hit some gaps and get into the backfield. And so I like Nick Bolton as well. Joshua Kando was not able to show you everything that we thought he was capable of at Florida State, but, man, Florida State's situation was just so bad all around during his time there. It's hard to really judge him on him. And then I love the Cornell Powell selection as well. Get some wide receiver depth, a contested catch guy, a guy who played for one of the best college football programs in Clemson, really came on big this past year, knows how what it's like to play for a winner. That's the exact situation that you're having here in Kansas City. So all in all, yes, no first-round pick, and maybe you wanted a little bit of a different linebacker than Nick Bolton, but it's hard to argue with what the Chiefs have done this offseason. I think they did a great job this past weekend as well.
Did Bolton leave to go where he's supposed to go? See, I'm a little hesitant on linebacker just because I don't see how he can get the number of snaps to impact the team the way I'd want him to this year, and this is more of a long-term Anthony Hitchens replacement, as I see it, versus a help the team immediately for a team that went to back-to-back Super Bowls, obviously, for the last 2 years. Is that at least the right value for Nick Bolton? Because that's at least the vibe I got from both linebacker and center. Their first two picks, at the very least, they got them at the correct value.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Bolton was going to go somewhere in the second round, I think. I heard early second round, heard mid-second round, but I think that they ended up getting really nice value for them when they ended up selecting for the first time in the draft. And so I think the value is right. No, I'm with you 100%. It depends if that's the exact kind of linebacker that they wanted. They've got the more athletic linebacker in Willie Gay, so you hope that he's going to pan out a little bit. You're right. If Nick Bolton's kind of coming in for Anthony Hitchens maybe further down the road, then, yeah, all that to say, I think that this definitely makes sense. Bolton's not going to give you nearly as much, but maybe that could be okay with the guys that they have around them. So I love Nick Bolton as a prospect. He's a lot of fun. You just got to realize what he is and where he's limited. So the strengths that he brings to the team, I think that the value is the correct spot there for the Chiefs.
We're talking to Trevor Sikkema, senior NFL reporter for the NFL Draft Network, also his podcast, Locked On NFL Draft. Now, as far as the AFC West goes, I think we all kind of have the opinion. We look at the Chargers and what they were able to accomplish, where Slater falls to them without having to move up, a great pick. And then you look at what they, Asante Samuel as well. What'd you make of the AFC West? Because it seemed like out of the division, other than Kansas City, the clear winner was the Chargers.
Well, I love the Chargers draft, no doubt about it. After two picks, I mean, they had Rashawn Slater and Asante Samuel Jr. I was ready to crown them kind of king of the draft at that point. I absolutely loved them being able to get those two guys. The rest of the players are fine players, but I felt like all of these guys, Josh Palmer, Trey McKitty, Chris Rump, those guys were all really overdrafted, if you ask me. You know, and they could be fine players. They could turn out to be exactly what the Chargers wanted, but I thought all of those guys were day three players, and a couple of them you're drafting in early parts of day two. I'm just a little shaky on the value there. But overall, I really love the Chargers draft when it comes to the impact that they got from their top two guys, with Asante Samuel Jr. and Rashawn Slater. I really loved what the Broncos did. I thought the Broncos had a great draft. Now, of course, you have to look at it through two different lenses, right? If you have quarterback on the table, which there's a certain debate there.
Yeah.
They should have selected Justin Fields. And I would agree with that 100%. But I don't think they were really ever going to. And so if that's the case, if you take quarterback off the table entirely, I love what they were able to do. Patrick Surtain's a great shutdown corner. He's going to be great for many years to come. Javonte Williams is a fantastic smash and dash there with Melvin Gordon. They got three guys in Quinn Meinerz, Baron Browning, Jamar Johnson, who I thought were all picked at fantastic value. Seth Williams, Terry Vincent Jr., these guys were great there at the tail end of the draft. And so I really do love what the Denver Broncos were able to do this past weekend. And then the Raiders, well, the Raiders were one of my lowest graded drafts. I'm not going to be the same wavelength as Mike Mayock and John Gruden. I'm just not. And that's something that I've realized here 3 years into their draft cycle, because they seem pretty excited about the draft haul that they had and the players that they added. But I don't get it. I don't see the vision. I don't know why you're picking Alex Leatherwood over players like Tevin Jenkins and Christian Darrisaw. Darrisaw I might get if you just don't think that he has the attitude and the mean streak in him, I guess, to play offensive tackle. Okay, I get that. But Tevin Jenkins was the perfect answer for you at right tackle. They don't select him. Then they go out and they get three safeties. And you know, they've got Jonathan Abrams on the team. They've got Jeff Heath. They have Carl Joseph as well, and it's like, okay, how are all of these guys going to play? How are all these players going to make an impact for you? And so, I don't know. It's just, I'm coming to the conclusion that I am not going to see a draft class the same way as the Raiders do. And that's just the way it is. And so if these guys pan out for them, great. But I have a hard time trusting I'm going to love any Raiders class as long as that regime stays the same.
Like at this stage, I'm starting to wonder, though, that if the Packers aren't just drafting things just to make Aaron Rodgers mad. Like, are they just going out of their way to do it? Because, like, and now their GM is obviously out here saying, oh, no, we were going to go for Justin Jefferson, and we were going to go for these wide receivers. You know, we traded up and took Jordan Love. You're like, none of this makes any sense. Like, at some point, when we're looking at the teams that can eventually cause Kansas City problems in the Super Bowl, it's not the Packers unless they're going to figure out some way to actually make Aaron Rodgers happy.
Well, I'll tell you, a way that Aaron Rodgers might cause the Chiefs a little bit more trouble is if he gets traded to Denver, right?
Sure.
Because that was a conversation that we started talking about before day one even kicked off, when this Rodgers news really started to leak. And you know what? The longer we go on here, the more I think that Rodgers has played his last down for the Packers. You know, if this was just the first time we were hearing of this, okay, that might be a little different, but it's not. Rodgers has been complaining about this stuff, sometimes publicly, sometimes privately, for years, the last 2 years at least, since the Jordan Love selection. And so it just seems like he does not want to be in Green Bay anymore. It does not seem like he gets along with his head coach as well as he should. It's clear that he doesn't get along with the front office as well as he should. And I really do think that Rodgers is in a position, coming off an MVP season, that he has all the power to just say, yeah, I'm done. I played 16 years in this league. If Rodgers retires today, he's a Hall of Famer, and he's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game of football. And he knows that. And so I think that he does not want to win games anymore for a franchise, or at least for a front office that he doesn't like. And that's just the kind of guy that I guess Aaron Rodgers is right now, and that's the mindset that he has. And really, I would tell you, if I was a betting man one side or the other, not saying I'm going to mortgage my house on it, but I'd tell you that Aaron Rodgers won't play for the Packers anymore following this season.
Trevor, our producer, Steven Sirt, is a big believer in the Cleveland Browns and what they're capable of this year as a potential Super Bowl contender. I know you're joining us on behalf of betonline.ag. Have the odds shown that people are viewing them a little more favorably right now?
I mean, it certainly should. You look at this team, and on paper before the draft, they look strong. And on paper after the draft, they look even stronger. You know, cornerback, too, I think was their big area of weakness. They go out and they get Greg Newsome, and if they're lucky with health and Greg Newsome stays healthy and Denzel Ward stays healthy, then I don't know where the holes on this team are. They get a lot faster at the second level with linebacker, with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who feels like one of the biggest steals in the draft, them getting him at 52 in the second round. But then you keep going. Tommy Togiai from Ohio State, he's a great plug-and-play, two-gap defending defensive lineman to throw into that defense that's losing Sheldon Richardson. They've got a versatile safety linebacker hybrid in Tony Fields as well. And so now there's so much speed, there's so much versatility on this team. You think they've got the right head coach in place with Kevin Stefanski coming off Coach of the Year honors, and it's all on Baker Mayfield now. It's all on his shoulders, and that's exactly where you want to be as a franchise that drafts a quarterback number one overall, and you want there to be no excuse that this guy's got everything he can to make it happen. They're getting Odell Beckham Jr. back for this season, and, man, watch out for Cleveland. I know it's the Browns, and people are going to say, I'll believe it when I see it.
Exactly.
There's no
yeah.
doubt about it that this team's got the chance to compete.
Well, Trevor, appreciate the insight, man, and I'm sure, I don't know if it's already out there, Mock Draft 2022. I don't know if you've already done one, but I'm sure they'll be here coming pretty quick.
You already know that I've already got one out over at draftnetwork.com. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Good stuff there from Trevor Sikkema, senior NFL draft reporter for the NFL Draft Network and co-host of the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. Yeah, I already see all the 2022 mock drafts are out.
Who do the Chiefs take? Is it a wide receiver finally? I guess we'll find out if Powell's any good. Gonna make a year before we make that decision. They're going to find another late-round steal at wide receiver. He's not super athlete, though, that like
I like
Tyree
his athletic profile more than D-Rob's.
Yeah, but he just seems like drafting D-Rob a little bit, doesn't it?
All right, I'm pulling up Trevor's.
He's bigger. It's more cut. D-Rob's kind of a skinnier, lanky guy.
Sure.
I'm pulling up Trevor's just so you, just because. Now I'm
What's
curious.
Wrong with you?
Now I'm curious. Well, because we just had him
you
on.
You sicko.
They haven't taken DeMarvion Overshown, linebacker out of Texas. Another
another linebacker.
Boom!
Really, game must not pan out.
Is he a pass rushing linebacker at least? Like a guy that they're going to transfer to?
Safety and linebacker background. So
it's terrible. So he's Dorian O'Daniel. He's a hyper guy.
I'm just laughing. It's nothing against Trevor. It's more that I know you hate the linebackers. So that's what's hilarious. By the way, he does have him picking 32 if you like that, though. All right, Trevor. Trevor,
the last 2 years,
Trevor's got him picking 32.
The last 2 years, their first four picks have all been at non-valuable positions. Linebacker, linebacker, interior offensive lineman, and running back. Those are like, if you rated the most valuable positions in the NFL, sort of where do those rank? Like the three lowest? Are those the three lowest valued positions in the entire NFL?
Yes. They're
taking interior offensive lineman, running back, linebacker, linebacker. I'm a little worried about that.
I mean,
that.
I would say, the lineman one is different. Like for me, based on what we saw in the Super Bowl, the interior offensive lineman, I value that a lot more. I think we all do now after what happened in the Super Bowl. And so the offensive line, again, I love the Creed Humphrey pick. But I'm just laughing, too, because the Texans he has is the number one overall pick, which I would agree. That's why it was dumb that the Texans drafted a quarterback this year, because he has them drafting a quarterback next year, which makes plenty of sense. So the Texans are a joke.
They look pretty stupid for that.
They do.
Are we rooting for Gold to get a good pack, Serta?
Why would you be rooting against me?
He always gets packs.
There's 134.
Is this like the fourth one you've gotten that's not base?
Yeah, I mean, I've had.
This is incredible.
I've gotten one. Look, Serta said he had a formula to get it. I don't have a formula. It's called just luck.
Blind luck.
Blind luck, and it works. There's 134,000 packs left, 29,000 in line or so. What I do like seeing is on the text line, we've got a bunch of listeners that are texting their first time ever getting a pack.
That is nice.
So I like seeing that. So people have been hearing us talk about it. There's a couple different people that have said this is their first pack in five tries. So that's what's cool. So congrats to those people that get to open
awesome.
A pack for the first time.
And it's open to a lot of people, which is great.
Some of it's just the rush of opening the pack, too. I get a little rush out of opening the pack.
I get more excited about getting it than opening it.
Really?
I'm just happy I've gotten it.
When it refreshes and it tells me the number in line, it's cool. But the opening pack is cool.
I've gotten a singular pack that wasn't a base pack. Yeah, now, look, I've turned that into some money. I've done okay. Yeah. And we obviously shared the $99 pack, so I was a nice beneficiary of that.
We got to talk about that.
But they got to talk about my account. There hasn't been another $99 one.
Well,
so until then, I'm off the hook.
I mean, again, Serta and I have actually brought money to the table. You haven't.
I was in line for the legendary one.
I must say.
Serta wasn't. I gave us a chance.
You guys better be eligible for the legendary. So there's a legendary pack that's going to be $1,000 here in the next month or so.
Do we know how to be eligible?
We don't, but I just want to point. Can we get the ground rules out for this, please, now? I'm glad we're talking about
the ground rules?
Yeah. So here's the thing.
Gold, I did a showcase today. I got 25 moments.
I transferred him 2 moments
to help
him get a showcase.
That's all. Actually, that's legit. No, I was going to ask you this because we need to get it out before the adrenaline's running and everything. The emotions are high.
Okay, and there's $1,000 pack on the line.
$1,000 on the line. We made an agreement, did we not?
Yes,
we did.
Any
pack over $99.
We share.
That all three of us are eligible, we share.
Yes.
So my question is, if we get to the legendary pack in a month and either you're only eligible or only me or only Serta and not all three, why on earth would I split it three ways if the whole point of three ways is so there's three better chances? Why would I split it three ways if there's only one chance at getting it?
So you're saying if Serta's not eligible or I'm not eligible,
correct?
Or
why,
you're not eligible.
Why? Like if you're eligible and Serta and I am not, why would you split with us? I didn't improve your odds. The whole point was we were improving our odds.
Mm, that's a good point, I guess. Generosity, I guess.
Think that one through. That's all I'm saying.
I'd like a little time to stew on it because it's hard when you don't know what the qualifications are going to be.
If they don't drastically change anything right now, we would all be eligible based on past rules. But they could. But they're starting to add in like challenges and
stuff. Which Gold and I have both now completed.
Yes,
well,
I haven't finished a challenge.
I will have completed one
but
in 3 days.
It's usually the challenge or you have to have this many moments or have spent this much money or whatever.
Right.
I've done all of the other stuff besides complete a challenge.
I've actually done some buying and selling just to get that number up. Like where I buy something for 30 and sell it for 32 and then buy something different for 28 and sell it for 27. Like I'm just breaking even. It just looks like an according to Top Shot that I've spent more.
Yeah.
I just want to get that. I want to get our hands on $1,000 pack. And I swear to God, I'll wait to open it until the show. It will be very hard.
It would be incredible.
It'd be incredibly hard. But it's all about that. It's all about the big payday for me. I get your point, but it's hard because we don't know what the rules are.
Someone says to split the proceeds, you got to split the investment? Question mark. No, I mean, we didn't.
Yeah.
I mean,
essentially, yes.
The
that
reason
person
why,
gets paid
The
back.
Reason why we were splitting it before is because we wanted three chances at getting a pack. But that was my question. If there's only one of us eligible to get the pack, then why would I split with two other people when you didn't improve the odds? That was my only question. I think it's fair, but we can talk about it more. That goes both ways, just even if I'm not eligible. I was just thinking about that the other day.
I need to think about it a little bit. I mean, you raise a fair question, but I am just like All I do is get base packs. That's all I'm good for. But I've been a teammate in other areas, right? Like I'm out here transferring moments to Serta so that he can complete the thing so he can get 20 free bucks. And, you know, like I'm trying to help out here.
I mean, really, we've only gotten the two high-dollar packs.
Correct.
The rest of it has been
base stuff.
$9, $14 packs that are generally easier to get, or they're like pre-orders that you could just get for nothing, basically.
That's pretty much the only ones I'm good at winning. I'm not
just
gonna
need one. Just give me one legendary.
I don't
pack.
Think I'm going to get to the front of the line before the show ends. We'll probably have to open this tomorrow because I want 26,000 in line. It's actually moving quicker by their standards, but I'm assuming we're going to have to open this on the air tomorrow.
Let's hope you get a good one.
What is it called? That's the Hustle and Flow pack?
That's a new category.
I'm tired of these $14 packs. I don't even want it.
Sort of just like slam the mic over. He's done with it. He's fed up.
I got like 28 moments. I've been active.
You might want to get to 30. 30 is like a good number there.
I'm almost out of Dapper funds. I'm gonna have to put more money in there. I'm down to like $35 after this morning.
Maybe you could sell some of your nicer ones and buy cheaper ones.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna have to sell. I got a Zion that I think's worth like $40. I'm just gonna have to sell.
Okay.
Yeah, you just got to let that go. I sold my Michael Porter Jr. this morning. It's too late. It was up $8. I bought it for 22. It's worth 30.
Not a bad idea. So there you go.
So you're flipping it.
Congrats to those listeners though, that got in line for the pack and are going to get a pack. So that's really cool. Let us know what you open up, though. If you open it today or tomorrow, we're going to do the one pack.
Twitter.
Yeah, for sure. We always like kind of seeing what you guys, especially if one of you has a big hit. Those are always fun to see off a $14
Another person
pack.
In the building, Justin Parrish, who works downstairs, he got in. He's in line. He'll be there.
Sweet. So there you go.
Barely, but he made like 130,000 or something.
Awesome. No, that's what it's about. By the way, if you missed any of our conversation with Whit Merrifield, he joins us Mondays at 11 for the Whit Merrifield Show. We'll bring that back for you coming up in about 10 minutes or so. You think, though, that the Royals should get even more credit with how they performed, which is a first-place record right now, because they've also had some injuries go against them.
It's not just Mondesi, which, by the way, being without your starting shortstop, who's going to hit third for you on opening day, is not insignificant on its own. But they've dealt with multiple injuries inside the bullpen. They've had to move around Hunter Dozier because he's been banged up as part of it. And look, thankfully, Salvi didn't miss any time when we thought maybe he might miss a day or two. But it's not been one or two injuries. It's been four or five they've essentially been dealing with, and one major injury. And two, if you count the amount of time, and then I think time wasted when Dozier came back but probably wasn't ready for it. Like, they have the number one record, and it's not like, I think sometimes you think that and you're like, everything's gone perfect. And in the starting rotation, I would say you're close four-fifths of the way. It's gone about as good as you can ask, which again means it hasn't gone as good as you can ask. Like, think about all the things that have stood in their way, and they still have the best record in baseball right now.
Oh, I mean, there's no question. They haven't played anywhere near their best baseball. We've talked about that for the last month, and Witt's acknowledged it when he's joined us, and that's what's also exciting about this start, too, because they are in first. They have the best winning percentage in baseball. It's May, and they have not had their best stuff yet. Now, there's other teams out there that can say the same thing, not the first place part, but they can say, oh, we haven't played our best baseball yet. Just wait for us. The benefit is other teams are saying that, and they're not in first place. You can say that still, and you are. So that's the beauty of the spot that they find themselves in going forward as well. At some point, that will catch up to you if you don't start, right? If you know, at some point, you know, the defensive lapses will really start to catch up to you in multiple games in a row.
They will find you,
right? But you've created some time in with your record in April to work that out and to still have that to where it's not in April where you're, you know, 10 games under 500.
And now
already,
you got to play seven games above 500 still without your starting shortstop and Brad Keller pitching.
You're working through. You've lost two series on the season, but you've been able to bounce back the very next day in most cases too. Whenever if you've had that bad game the night before, they really have been able to quickly squash and forget what happened the night before. And obviously that speaks to, you know, some of the leadership that they have in the clubhouse, and obviously what Mike Matheny's been able to do as well. But I'm fired up for tonight, man. I can't wait. Daniel Lynch out of Kauffman Stadium. I think the weather's going to be all right. Bring a hoodie.
It's major
Bring
league,
a jacket.
Major league debuts are cool. No matter what, they're cool.
Yeah, you and I talk about the
like
Alex
when
Gordon
Eric
one
Scoglin
all the time.
When hat tipped after seven, it was cool. But this is a huge pitching prospect for Kansas City. Like the chance to be a number one starter in a rotation, in a very good rotation, the way it's going right now. But man, I can't wait to watch him at the K.
Potential superstar in baseball. If he turns out to be what people think he can be, that's why tonight's so exciting. And coming up next, Serta's got his fantasy flash. He'll get you set for the football season. We'll also get to watch trending. And if you missed our conversation, you'll hear from Whit Merrifield.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2. 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on What's Trending, Daniel Lynch. He makes his MLB debut tonight out at Kauffman Stadium. 7:10 first pitch against the Indians right here on 610 Sports Radio. Vern's on deck show at 6 o'clock. 24-year-old lefty, probably going to see triple digits at some point tonight when you factor in adrenaline, and he's hit it before, but I wouldn't be stunned if
he can throw
100 anyway to begin with. And plenty of excitement. I mean, he's the number two prospect in the organization, and he's only behind Bobby Witt Jr., and he's one of the, two or three top left-handed pitching prospects in all of baseball. Potential to be a superstar if all goes well in this league. Look, we all think Brady Singer is going to have a really good career, and we all hope that Asa Lacy, and he's in, like, at least based off of projections, right? He's believed to be in a different category than some of these other guys we've seen already.
Sure. And even, like, by the way, Singer's debut, people are really excited about what he was. He was a first round pick. People thought really highly of him as well. He was drafted higher than Daniel Lynch. But it's just as things go on, especially because you're a lefty throwing 100 miles an hour, people just tend in scouting circles to talk about you very differently. It's funny, by the way, you pointed out, I knew this because we'd gone over it. Daniel Lynch was because they held on to Eric Hosmer. He was a comp pick for holding on to Eric Hosmer after he signed that deal with San Diego.
Yeah, no, he was. No, it's kind of just how that full circle, how it all comes back, and we'll get our first glimpse at it, at least at the big leagues tonight.
I'm excited. Really excited to be in the K tonight. You should go out there. Get a drink. Let me know. Let me know where you're going to be. At Cody B. Tapp on Twitter. Next up on What's Trending, the College Football Playoff Committee. Could they be looking at expansion? Well, maybe a little closer than they had been. Gold Ross Dellinger over at Sports Illustrated said that a secret meeting, that's how they called it, not me, in June of this in the previous year, said that 8 of the 11 conference commissioners or the committee commissioners would at least be open to the possibility of expansion. Now, some are just like, hey, they wouldn't fight it. You know the difference there, right? And some are openly for it. Maybe there actually will be expansion. I hope they take it to 16. If they take it to 8, eventually they're going to want to take it to 16 anyway. Just get it to the number it should be now. None of us think it should be more than that, right? There's no reason to take it to 32 for college football. 16's the number, man. Go with that and feel good. Or go 10 and have two by number one and number two teams.
You all right with eight? Like, can we work our way up? Can we get to
God,
eight?
Oh, God, I'll take eight because it's better than four.
Okay.
I just want 16 in the end.
Next up on What's Trending, we talk about college football there, Cody. Contract numbers are out for Lance Leipold, the new head football coach at KU. Today was the official introductory press conference for him, but the contract numbers are out. Six-year deal, $2.2 million in year one, and then there's escalators each year, what, $200,000 or so each year. That's pretty standard that you typically see. There's, of course, bonuses if you win a certain amount of games. There's bonuses if you're able to go further than that. I think what's interesting is going to be the coaching staff that's in place. There's some reports over the weekend that perhaps KU insisted on the new head coach, whoever that was going to be, now it's Lance Leipold, that they retain some of the staff because, as you know, the prior staff had brought in, you know, a new offensive coordinator not too long ago, and so that's a guaranteed contract. You talk about how much it would cost to pay out the entire staff. So it'll be interesting how that shifts over the next, I guess, weeks ahead. What staff is retained? And the relationships and the benefits of certain guys long term more than just worrying about the short term. So there'll be some staff that he's gonna basically be asked to retain, but it'll be interesting who those individuals are going forward.
Yeah, it's a tough spot, but I have lower expectations than normal. I've asked, you know, you ask the question anytime a new coach comes in, what qualifies success for them? And normally for any Power Five conference, I've told you before, right? 5 bowl games in 10 years, finish in the top 3 of your conference, especially if you're a lower end, finish top 3 in your conference some point in like every 7 years, et cetera, et cetera. For him, if over the next 6 years, he just makes them a more desirable spot for the next coach he's won. Because that has not been the case for the last few coaches who have come through Kansas. Yes, he needs some bowl appearances, et cetera, but there's a lot Leipold can do to help himself out. Next up on What's Trending, the 5th-year options continue to cycle out throughout the league. If you're curious, hey, who's picking up the guys from the first rounder? It's all over the board. For instance, the Falcons cut Hayden Hurst. They're not going to pick up his 5th-year option. So he'll be a free agent after this upcoming year. Calvin Ridley will not be. The Vikings just declined Mike Hughes' 5th-year option as well. Keep track on those at 610sports.com. But again, it's one of those league days where you're like, well, at least I know who doesn't like a guy enough out of the first round that they're not going to keep him an extra year, which is probably a really shocking reminder for how few first-round picks work out. Because it's like more than half that aren't even willing to commit to a guy for a 5th-year gold, which tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, I mean, the Charles Leno one was a surprise to me.
Yeah.
The left tackle in Chicago. They're going to save about $9 million, and we know they drafted Tevin Jenkins, who clearly is going to be their left tackle now to start the season. They have enough faith that he can be the tackle, so they're moving on from Charles Leno, who, by the way, we were talking about, you know, veteran options that are out there. I know the Baltimore Ravens, with them trading Orlando Brown Jr., we were wondering about Charles Leno is going to get picked up on somebody. He's started a left tackle most of his career and has been a pretty good NFL player early portion of his career, and the Bears moving on from him, though. Lastly, real quick on What's Trending, just the Kentucky Derby, of course, over the weekend. All of us lost money on that. Thank you, Medina Spirit and Bob Baffert. Just don't ever bet against
that. Why did we bet against that guy?
It wasn't smart, was it?
Why didn't someone talk me out of betting soup and sandwich? Serta was just like 3 beers deep and felt froggy.
The fact that I got Serta to bet $50 on horse racing, basically, he was feeling good.
Trying to win some cash.
Yeah, none of us won any money.
He was trying to win the money, pay for that Kelly's bar tab, but it didn't work out.
We did have a good time.
Sometimes it just doesn't work out.
That is What's Trending here on Cody and Gold. Reminder, by the way, coming up at 2:30 today on The Drive, Clark Hunt will join Carrington here on 610 Sports Radio, exclusively on your official Chiefs broadcast partner, 610 Sports Radio. But earlier today, on Mondays at 11 a.m. every Monday, the Whit Merrifield Show here on Cody and Gold, presented by Victory, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram.com, the ultimate in stress-free car shopping. And we asked Whit just about coming back home, and Whit must be nice getting back after a nice road trip.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Great to be back. 10-day road trip that didn't really feel like a 10-day road trip based on what past years have felt like. We were talking yesterday after a game, even though we lost. I can't remember the last time we went on a road trip and came back, you know, winning 6 out of the 9 games. So pretty excited about how the trip went. Obviously, would have liked to have won that series in Minnesota, but got a big week coming up here at home.
Whit, I know it starts with Minnesota, but I was looking at this month kind of like moving day of the Masters is the way I was putting it. You just do nothing but face divisional opponents. It's Cleveland, it's Chicago, it's Detroit, it's Minnesota. How are you guys doing this month, especially because you're coming off such a great April, but also because you know this month is nothing but divisional opponents, the most important for you?
Yeah, it's good. It's a big one. It's a big month, and we got up playing a lot of good teams, and those teams happen to be in our division. So we got to play some good baseball and got to win some games. This is a big month for us, and you know, we've been doing a pretty good job at finding ways to win, and we're looking to keep that trend going this, for the rest of this season, hopefully, but starting with this month.
We've talked to you a bunch just about like where this team is at and your feeling on how you guys are playing. And I know you've said the last couple of weeks you still feel like that there's plenty of room for growth for your play despite seeing you guys sit there in first place in the AL Central. I know defense is one of those areas I think maybe we as fans take for granted and just assume, hey, this is going to be the strength for you guys. How frustrating has it been for you to see some of the defensive issues the last week or so?
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to ever, you know, make any defensive mistakes, especially when you get a pitcher out there pitching as well as our staff has. So it's something that we've got to continue to improve on. It's a big part of our game, and we got to be better at it. So it's something we can do. We got guys that are really good defenders, and it's just something that we've got to continue to work at and get better at. And we know we can. It's just I think as a whole, not played, you know, the best defense that we know we can play.
Whit, I've always found you to be a really accountable player. I think people were talking about that a few weeks ago when you felt like you came up short in an offensive possession and talked a lot about it in the post game about how you yourself needed to be better. I saw your parents and your family was out at the game last week. And is that something that comes from your dad, your mom? Like the hold myself accountable or to a higher standard stuff? Like, I know sometimes that develops over. I think you got that trait.
It's just something I think that has come from a little bit of both of them. I've just always been raised and been taught that, you know, you can point fingers all you want, but it's at the end of the day, it's on you to be better. And if you can't hold yourself accountable, then it's hard to grow. And it's just something I've always, it's really just kind of come easy for me to go out and do the best I can, and if it doesn't work out, you know, I know that it's nobody's fault but mine. But when you go out and you work and you prepare and you play as hard as you can every day, it's you know, it's when stuff doesn't go right, it's easier to sleep at night knowing that you prepared, you put yourself in the best situation, and sometimes it's just not gonna execute, not gonna make the play, not gonna get the hit, and I'm okay with that as long as I continue to work and put myself in the right position to be successful.
How often does your family actually get to come out to the games? I guess that's not something I ask someone very often, but I'm sure you appreciate any time they're out. How often do they get to see you play?
As much as they can. Pittsburgh was one of the closer places for them. It was a six and a half hour drive, so. They drove up, and my dad is working remotely now since the university's not really. He works in the athletic department at Wake Forest, and they're not really allowed to go back in to the office. So he's able to work remotely, and it's great for him because he really enjoys, as well as my mom, they really enjoy watching me play, and they don't mind traveling. So whenever they can make a trip, they're going to make a trip. His birthday coming up actually in a couple of days, and they were talking about coming out to Kansas City this week, but I don't know if they're going to or not.
He's
probably finding that out.
He's probably not listening to that right now. What'd you get him for his birthday?
I got the idea from Greg Holland, actually. There's these stupid little things called cuddle clones, and So my parents have two golden retrievers that they are just all about. They're all about their dogs. And so I got him a golf head, a driver head cover of my favorite of the two dogs.
Okay.
The girl dog. Her name's Casey. We actually got her when I was drafted, and they named her Casey because I was drafted by Kansas City, actually.
Love it.
So I sent in a bunch of pictures, and they do a good job from Greg's head cover. It looks a lot like his dog. So I got him one of those. I don't think it's going to be in time, but they'll get a kick out of that.
We're talking to Whit Merrifield. It's the Whit Merrifield Show every Monday at 11 here on Cody and Gold. Tonight, I know fans are fired up. Not only are you guys coming back from a successful road trip to start a big homestand, but Daniel Lynch gets the call up, his debut tonight. What are debuts like for you guys in the clubhouse? I mean, I know what our level of excitement is. What's it like for you as a teammate?
You feel the energy. You really do. Whenever somebody gets called up, whether it be position player-wise, pitcher-wise, starting pitcher-wise especially, you feel that energy. You feel that I don't want to say rejuvenation because we're in a really good spot right now as a team, but, you know, there's that freshness to it. There's almost like a youth aspect when a young guy comes up and makes his debut that it just gets your juices flowing a little bit more than say a normal game would. So we're fired up for Daniel. He's obviously a great talent and hoping that he just settles in out there and pitches his game and realizes that all he's got to do is execute his plan, pitch his pitches, and he'll be just fine. He doesn't have to do any more than he needs to. So we're excited to play behind him and look forward to a good outing tonight.
How much have you seen him on an individual level? Obviously, last year he was away from the club because everyone was kind of separated. But a little bit in spring training, like you say, he's a really good talent. How much have you seen his stuff, I guess, while standing in the batter's box, Whit?
I've never faced him.
Okay.
No, I've never faced him. I'm not a big fan of live BPs. There's no benefit, in my opinion, for a hitter in live BP. So I don't really stand in on guys much, but playing behind him a lot, I mean, you can just see his stuff. You see people being overmatched by his fastball and looking silly on his off-speed pitches. So he can command the zone, be in the strike zone, throw strikes, and mix his pitches up. I really like our chances when he's on the mound.
Speaking of Danny Duffy, by the way, Whit, I know that you guys are close, and he's close to a lot of people inside of that clubhouse. How different does he look to you, I guess, from a stuff standpoint? Like, I know as an individual, he just seems like he's put everything together and all there. Is his stuff different, or is it just the way he's throwing it this year to kind of equate to the start he's had for you guys?
There's a lot of different aspects that have made Duff as successful as he is this year. He's in a really awesome place mentally off the field, which is helping him worry about baseball when he's at the park. And that's huge for Duff, and it's huge for us. And Duff's he's such an incredible guy, such a thoughtful and passionate human being that it's so great to see him doing so well and just being the Duff that we know he is. And like I said, I'm not going to get into what, you know, personal stuff, but he's in an awesome place right now, and we love it when he pitches. His stuff is incredible, and he's got a great game plan. He and Salvi execute a great game plan. He's pitching, and he's flashing up some 96s. I even saw a couple 97s a couple starts ago, so that's always fun to see too.
Yeah, we looked 45. You're good. You're safe on number 45. We looked on the active roster right now. Although
in fairness, I was wrong. Duffy was 41, and I was thinking he had 45 early, but he had a different number. So who knows? We'll find out soon enough, right?
That's right. If it's 45, I deserve a prize.
I'll be honest, though. We've been looking around town. Yesterday, I spent way too much time in the energy drink aisle at the store. We still need to hook up on the sunshine stuff because we were trying to find it, Whit, and we saw you tagged us on Instagram as well. No luck. We need some help.
No luck at the Hy-Vee?
Not on the Kansas side, at least. We got to figure it out.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Maybe the Missouri side. I'm not sure which Hy-Vee it's at, but that was what I was told. I was told Hy-Vee.
We'll try again. We wanted to give you at least a proper review this week, but we were unable to do so.
That's all right. We got plenty of Mondays left.
Plenty of money. Exactly. Whit, I did want to ask you one more about just since you're back at the K, we get to hear your walk-up music again. How carefully do you cultivate that decision? I just wanted to know how long it takes you to decide on what walk-up music you're going to go with.
There's some thought that goes into it. Yeah, there's some thought, and you know, it goes down to a final four or five, and then there's a vote, and then, you know, you try it in front of your peers, and it's a long process to get the right walkout song. So
I'm pretty happy with mine right now. It's been, I kind of like it, and but we'll see how long it lasts. I usually go about half a year and then find something different. A little different genre than my walkout songs usually are. Usually they're like old school kind of hip hop, like 90s, 2000, early 2000s hip hop. This year it's not, so, but it's all right.
The Whit Merrifield Show every Monday here at 11 on Cody and Gold. Whit, appreciate it as always, man. We'll see you out there tonight.
Yeah, see you guys.
All right, Whit Merrifield earlier today with us here on Cody and Gold, as always, presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.com, the ultimate in stress-free car shopping. And you see, he's never faced Daniel Lynch. He's like, I've watched it, though. He's like, I've watched his stuff. I've seen his stuff before.
Yeah, he said he stood behind him while hitters seem confused and can't hit it.
Yeah, and also he mentioned, even though, like, typically you're like, okay, if the team's not performing well and you get a call up like this, it can rejuvenate you. He's like, but we're already playing well, so it still brings something, but it's not as if they needed to be rejuvenated because they're in first place.
But it's a major league player's debut,
yeah,
still.
And like, look, the way they understand how good this kid probably can be. I mean, they've been around him in spring training the last couple of years, and they hear everything. They've seen it firsthand. So, yeah, I'm sure it's got to be exciting for them.
They watch him throw 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Break off changeups.
I think that they know the message it sends to the clubhouse. Like, you're adding someone that can continue to help your rotation, and really also ended up helping your bullpen, because Jacob Junis now goes to the bullpen, and Junis has been really, really good here in 2021, and no reason to believe that he's not going to be even more effective perhaps in the bullpen.
Think about how high you've got to be on a guy. If even though he didn't start with your major league roster to start the season, you didn't watch him in a single extra minor league game. Just these like fake games, and they played and it's competitive or whatever a little, but like these games that weren't televised anywhere when they take three days off to Texas and then do that. And upon seeing that, they still decided to play him. Like, they didn't even need to see more than that. They're like, based on what we saw in the offseason and spring training and like a few of these sprinkled in, oh, we went to Texas to kind of play another team's traveling squad. That was enough. We're good. His stuff is so good. That's fine. Like, that is the biggest boost of confidence. Because with Bobby Wood Jr., they're like, well, we're going to put him at Double-A just to, like, you know, we don't think it slows him down, but...
Yeah, J.J. Piccolo said might speed it up, by starting in Double-A.
Sure, but, you know, he's got to go through the steps, as he said. Mm-hmm. They're done with steps with Lynch. Normally, he would have had some other steps somewhere along the way. The whole season got canceled, and they're still going to put him in tonight. That's that, coupled with just how high I am on him as a prospect, is why I'm so excited to watch Lynch pitch tonight. But this could be altering. If Daniel Lynch is a starter in your rotation the rest of the year, this makes them so much better. And then depending on Junis back and forth, he makes them better in the bullpen now, could make them better in the rotation later. It's a million options for them now.
We'll have to talk more about it some other time, but Witt says he doesn't think live BP is beneficial. It's worked out pretty well
for
Whit Merrifield. That's just interesting. I was surprised to hear that when he said that earlier today with us. By the way, I just got the pack.
Open it up.
Can I do a super quick final word?
The final
word. All right, let's open the Top Shot pack. Drop number one. Here we go. First moment. Oh, there's five of them. Oh, boy. 1,795 common. Jaden McDaniels three-pointer.
Oh, God, I should have really pulled this up faster.
Out of 4,000? Out of 4,000?
Is that your hustle and... No, that's a $53 moment.
Okay, boom.
That's
love
his
it.
Only. That's
love
his,
it.
That's his first Top Shot moment.
All right.
God, what
all
a
right.
Start.
It's got two badges on it. Next one, real quick here. 6,299. It's a layup, Avery Bradley. December 30th.
Oh, that was his only one. That's a $9 moment.
All right.
That's his first
9,000.
What are these old first moments?
9,193. Marcus Smart out of 1,800. This is the Hustle and Show one, so there's not going to be a price for it yet, Cody, so we can move on.
Yeah, sorry.
But that's the Marcus Smart. Two more to go. 4,451 out of 35,000. James Harden assists. Probably not worth much. Brooklyn Nets, February 13th. James Harden.
James Harden assist. Oh, boy. Where is this? I mean, just go
all
open
right,
the
and
other
then
one. He's got a lot of moments.
Then
okay.
Torian Prince, 1,017 out of 12,000 assist.
You called it an assist, not a layup, right?
Which one?
Yes.
The Harden?
Yes.
Out of how many?
35,000.
I don't know where that moment is.
What about Torian Prince? It's got a badge. This, three of these have badges. That's all I got to know. And
he's
then,
got a tremendous pack.
I think it's a good pack.
That's all a right. Really good pack.
Yeah, that's at least $100.
I love
and
it.
That's before you even know what the Marcus Smart one
I love
was
it.
For.
Good stuff.
You said Torian Prince?
Yeah.
That moment doesn't exist yet. That's one of the moments that hadn't come out yet. Also, by the way, I think that James Harden hadn't come out because I don't see it.
Oh, baby.
So you got, there were moments that hadn't been released yet. I think you got two that hadn't been released.
All right, we're heading out to Kauffman Stadium later tonight to watch Daniel Lynch. If you're going to be out there, send us a tweet at Cody B. Tapp, at Alex Gould. Coming up next, it's The Drive. Clark Hunt joins CDOT here on 610.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.